Today we continue in our series, Multiply. Anybody receiving this word during this series? Anybody being challenged in your heart? All right, five of you. Anybody else being challenged today? Here you go. I want to know today, are you tired of hearing about multiplication? Or do you want more? Are you hungry for more? Come on, are you hungry for more, one God? Okay, just making sure. This series, this is our eighth study in this topic of multiplication. And last week, we started a sermon called, Do You Have the Right Pattern to Multiply? Do you have the right pattern to multiply? Last week, I was not able to finish that sermon. So today, I want to come back and pick back up on that thought as I continue in this sermon. Do you have the right pattern to multiply? How many know if you don't have the right pattern, you'll get the wrong answer? Yeah, if your kids ever struggle with algebra or geometry, we know that they say, I keep doing the same thing and getting the same answer, and it's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. And then I go back and I just simply ask them, go back and double check your pattern. There's something wrong with your pattern. If you're getting the same answer every time and it's wrong, go back and check your pattern. There's something wrong with your pattern. And they're like, Dad, well, tell us what's wrong. I'm like, I'm not going to do your homework for you. I don't know what's wrong with your pattern. But you know, you were in class. Go back and check your pattern. If you don't know, call somebody. Get a friend. But go through this pattern. There's something wrong with your pattern if you keep getting the wrong answer. And so we looked at this last week and looking at the pattern that God has set for our life. We made the statement last week that a resolution without routine brings no change, right? We can make all the resolutions we want. We can list them on our refrigerator. We can post them on Facebook. We can make a top 10 list on Instagram. We can tweet about them. We can stick them on the mirror in our bathroom. We can stick them on the mirror in our car. But if we don't change our routine, we're going to get the same answers. I want to change. I want a different outcome in my spiritual walk this year. I want a different outcome in my marriage. I want a different outcome in my finances. I want a different outcome in my relationships. I want a different outcome spiritually this year. But I never change my routine, my pattern. I'm going to get the same answer. So to get a different answer result, I must change my pattern. Turn to your neighbor and say, we got to change our pattern. We got to change our pattern and make sure our pattern is lined up with the way God wants us to be. Now, we also made the statement that you can't believe your way out. Look at this. You can't believe your way out of a bad results if you won't stop the pattern that got you there. I can get up and say, I have faith to believe for different results. But if I never address my pattern, I'm going to follow the same results. I've got to have faith to change my pattern and change my routine, change my pattern to change my results. So it's important that we stick to the pattern that God has laid out for us. And I even got into that some last week as I looked at and talked about the pattern that God has called us to run His church. And we see that He's called us to teach people how to love Him with their whole heart, with their whole mind, with their whole spirit, everything within them. We got to teach people how to love the Father, how to love His Son, how to love His Holy Spirit, how to love His church, how to love those who don't love you, how to love those who have done you wrong, how to love His presence, how to love His worship, how to love His praise, how to love His redeeming power, how to love His healing power. We got to teach people what it means, how to love His Word. We got to teach people, and we got to teach them what it means to love their neighbor as theirself, how to forgive those, how to serve people that are not the best people in the world, how to love those who have done you wrong, how to forgive those who don't deserve forgiveness. And then we got to teach people how to fish for be fishers of men. We see where Jesus did that. He said, I'm going to teach you how to be fishers of men. Let's pick back up on God's pattern, okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, we got to stick to the pattern. Stick to the pattern. Let's look at a very encouraging scripture. You're going to love this scripture. It's such an encouraging scripture for the church. John 15, verses 1 and 2. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch. Ow. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. It doesn't multiply. He says, while every branch that does bear fruit, every branch that does multiply, he does what? He prunes so that he will be even more fruitful. I've got some news for you today that maybe you don't want to hear. But for one way or another, we're going to be cut on. Whether we like it or not, if we're Christians, we're going to be cut on. He says, I'm going to cut off those who are not bearing fruit, those who separate themselves from the vine. Those people are cut off. They're not going to receive any multiplication, no fruit in their life. And those who do produce fruit, they're going to be cut on as well. He says, I'm going to cut them back. I'm going to prune them and prepare them for the next season of harvest. So the fact is simply this. We all must be pruned. This is God's pattern. We all must be pruned. And that's not always a popular thing to talk about in church. It's a lot easier to talk about some of the good things, some of the more positive things, less painful things. But I'm here to tell you a fact about our Christian walk is simply this. We will be pruned because God loves us. He prunes us, prepares us for the next season of multiplication in our life. Look at this next statement I made. Fruitfulness is found in faithfulness. Fruitfulness is found in faithfulness. Last week I talked about many times the enemy comes to you and says, man, you're in a season of not producing fruit, and tries to get you to uproot your roots and go try something else. I tried this church thing, it doesn't work. I tried this Jesus thing, it doesn't work. I'm trying this, and he will lie to you. When you're not in a season of not being fruitful, you're just being stable. You're learning what it means to be stable and to stay planted. Can I ever expect anything to produce fruit by uprooting it and replanting it every 3 months somewhere else? No, I've got to allow that thing to be watered, to be nurtured. I've got to allow the roots to grow deep in order for it to bring forth the fruit that it was intended and created to bring. It will never blossom if I uproot it. That's why I was talking so strong last week about how we got to teach this generation what it means to stay planted. Because we're the microwave generation. We want it our way, we want it when? Now. It's my way now. I want God's way now. I want change now. I want fruit now. I want multiplication now. And believe me, I can get up here and tell you that it just simply doesn't happen overnight. There's come seasons where God wants you to walk, where you have to trust Him and stay planted. And you got to find a church that you stay planted in. I know there's a lot of great churches out there. Well, I'm looking for the perfect church. But don't go there, because you'll ruin it for everybody. This church is not perfect, and you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. There's no church great. There's no perfect churches out there. But I will tell you this. There's a lot of great churches out there. And you just got to find a place where you can plant yourself. Plant yourself. Because there's where you'll see. You'll never experience the fullness of the fruit that God has for you until you learn to plant yourself. Receive of the food that God is feeding you. Let it process. Let you be pruned. And then let you serve and give back. And let the fruit begin to multiply in your life. But it only comes when we learn to plant ourselves. We'll never experience the fullness of multiplication by being in church for 3 months and then being on my own for 3 months. And then trying out another church for a month, and then trying out another church for a month, and then trying out another church for a month, and then taking 6 months off, and then Easter go back to another church, and then Christmas go to a different church. I'm telling you, we'll never see multiplication. So find a church that you can believe in and get planted there, okay? That's what's going to happen. You got to get planted. And then you plant yourself in your relationship with God. Fruitfulness is found in faithfulness. Look what Genesis 1:28 says. Then God blessed them, talking about Adam and Eve, and God said to them, be what? Fruitful and multiply. And all the husbands said, amen. All right. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea. Any fishermen in here? You guys should be saying amen right now. God has called you to have dominion over that fish. I'm just doing what God's called me to do. That's why I'm buying the boat. I got to have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the lake. And all you hunters here, it says you have the dominion over what? The birds of the air too. Over every living creature, every living thing that moves on the earth. Let me say this. In our DNA, there is a natural part of us that God has placed in us. We want to multiply. It's in our DNA. And when you're not multiplying, when you're not bearing fruit, you should feel empty. You should feel like something's missing. That is a natural part of our life, that God created in us a natural desire to multiply and have fruit. And when that's not happening, you should feel like, man, what's going on? But I'm here to tell you, that's not always a bad thing. And what Satan wants to do, he wants to get those feelings and work them against you and say, God doesn't love you. God, you're in the wrong season in your life. You're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong here and that. And Satan will use that to discourage you when really you could just be going through a season of cutback, of pruning. And God is preparing you. We must be planted in God's soil to be fruitful. We got to learn to be planted. And don't worry about that. See, this is the problem. Okay, you ready for the problem? Here we go. The problem is this. The problem is we want to be fruitful without being planted. Turn to your neighbor and say, oh, this is going to be good today. You better get ready right now, because Pastor Gene is about to unload right now. The problem we have is we want to be fruitful, but we don't want to be planted. I want it my way, and I want it now. And God's way is not our way. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. His timing is not our timing. And we got to realize that. That he says to be fruitful, we must go through seasons of being cut on. John 15:2, we just read it. God cuts off those who don't bear any fruit. And those who do bear fruit, he cuts on you anyway and cuts you back and prunes you. I remember when we first got married, my wife and I, we had our first rental house, and the landlord called me and he said, hey, Gene, I'm in town. He goes, I'm going to be in town for a few days. I want to stop by the house and do some upkeep on the house. So I said, sure, you know, come on, do what you need to do. And he was in the yard cutting away some old bushes and doing some things. And I was like, that's great. This is an awesome landlord. And then I came home and he cut down my favorite tree. This tree brought shade to the back part of the house. This tree was the main tree that brought shade to the big master bedroom windows. And so, how many remember those days when you didn't have kids? You could actually sleep in. And remember those days? Yeah, you had to get up. And I remember the sun coming through at 5:30 in the morning because my landlord cut down my tree. He cut it way back. I had no shade. It was ugly. It looked bald. No offense, guys, but no, it didn't look very pretty. And I was like, what is he doing? Nothing's blocking the sunlight any longer. It's an ugly tree to look at. But I realized in the next season, that tree blossomed bigger than it ever had been before. The leaves were bigger. The branches were bigger. The tree gave off more shade than it ever had before. It became even more pleasant to look at. And now when I bring in the tree trimmers to my house and they cut back my trees and make them look almost bald, and your kids are like, oh, why did you pay those guys to make our trees look ugly? I'm like, well, you wait and see what happens the next season. It will look prettier than ever. And sure enough, it blossoms. It becomes so much more prettier than it ever had been in several years, because first of all, it had to be pruned down, correct? He says, we got to be willing to be pruned. He says, I prune you down. But we get upset when God prunes us. We get upset. And you know what I find out is a lot of times we get upset over fruit for seed we never planted. Oh, that's good, isn't it? We get upset. God, why didn't you multiply in my life? And we never took time to plant any seed in our life. But yet we get mad because we're not having a multiplication in our life. But we're never taking any time to plant seed. And that's another sermon I can't get on. Maybe in a few weeks we'll get to that one. But we got to find out that we got to quit being upset about seed we didn't plant. I tell my kids all the time, we can't get upset about grades on a test if I didn't take time to study. I don't know why I didn't do good in this test. Well, did you study? No, not really. I studied in study hall like one time. It's like I never seen you open the book at home, but yet you're not happy with your grade on this test. You have no right. I tell them, you have no right to be upset when you didn't take the time to study for the test. Are you fine? Follow me here. We have no right to be upset over fruit that's not there in our life when we never took time to plant a seed. See, God is wanting to do a multiplication in us. He's wanting us to be fruitful. But there's no more frustrating feeling in the world than being unfruitful. I don't care what you're doing, whether it's business, whether it's for God, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your finances, whether it's in your marriage. When you're unfruitful, it is frustrating, isn't it? Because in our DNA, we want to be fruitful. We want to grow. We grow frustrated because we feel cut off. We feel frustrated because, God, you cut us off. You said you cut off those who separate themselves from the Father. But this is what I want you to get today. Okay, are you ready? You didn't get cut off. You just got cut back so God can prepare you for a comeback. That should get you excited today. That should get you clapping your hands today, realizing that God is cutting on you. He is cutting you back to prepare you for a comeback. He didn't cut you off. He's just pruning you and asking you to walk through a season. Asking you to walk through a season of being cut back so he can prepare you for a comeback in your life. He says those he loves, he cuts us back, prepares us to produce even more fruit. I preached on pattern last week. And some of you went home and changed your pattern for 2 days. And then got frustrated because you didn't get the results you wanted. Well, Pastor Gene talked about changing pattern, and I quit doing this for 2 days, and I ain't seeing no results. It doesn't work. Let me tell you this. It can take a while. I can't undo 20 years of bad pattern results in 2 days. Sometimes I got to take the time, and it takes a while. Well, Pastor, I've gotten back into church. I've been out for 15 years. But, man, I've been back in church now for 6 weeks, and my family still doesn't think I'm serious about God. It's going to take a while. They're going to see, is he going to stick with it this time? Is she going to stick with it this time? It can take a while for people to trust you again. Well, I don't understand why, Pastor. Man, I don't understand why my wife and my children aren't forgiving me. Well, I had 3 affairs on my wife. And yes, I may have asked her to forgive me. And yes, I may be doing everything I can to restore my life in God. But it's going to take a while. It doesn't happen because I showed up at church 3 weeks in a row. Are you following me? It can take a while to rebuild back trust. It can take a while to rebuild back your reputation. It can take a while to rebuild back faithfulness. It can take a while for fruit to come out again. But it will to those who stay planted. It can take a while, but see, that's what throws us for a loop. The while. We don't like that word. Oh, we like suddenly, don't we? If I was preaching on suddenly, you'd be up and clapping, hallelujah. And suddenly. And we see that in the scripture. We see times where God moves suddenly. And we get excited about that. But other times, God says, you got to wait a while. I'm sure the children of Israel didn't like going on a 40-year journey. That should have only taken 2 weeks. It took them a while for God to prune them and get them ready for the next season in their life. Over and over again, we see that pattern of taking a while in Scripture as well as suddenly. And many times, God asks us to walk through seasons of while, of the while, of the while. But everybody wants to do more. Everybody wants to be more. But we see it. We just read it in John 15:2. It says what? He says that he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. It's the while that gets us. It's the while that we lose people. Everybody wants to bear fruit, but no one wants to sustain the while. Nobody gets excited about the while, and I understand why. Hebrews 10:37, talking about Jesus is in just a little what? Just a little what? That's it. In just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. God answers in just a little while. But this is the problem. God says a day in the Lord can be as what? 1,000 years. So a little while to God may mean a long time to you and I. It could be today, or it could be a long time. And sometimes God asks us to walk through seasons of the while, and we don't get excited about that. But we gotta realize it's during those seasons of the while that he begins to cut back on us, and he's preparing us for a new season of fruitfulness, a new season of bearing fruit. Don't grow weary or of doing what's right. He is preparing you during the season of the while. We don't like this while. Growing up, Dad, when are we going to get there? In a while. When will we be there? In a while. Dad, when are you going to buy me a trampoline? Oh, that's a while. When are we going to go to Six Flags? Oh, we will eventually. We don't like the word while. We never have, never do, never will. Let's be honest. We don't like the word while. You know, when we have children, I've been doing this thing a long time with 5 kids. So I've had people tell me over and over again, you have your children, they'll be a young gene just for a little while. Make sure that you take advantage of that time because it'll pass just like that. Any parents here whose children are grown will confirm with me and say, yeah, this goes with lives like that. So that's why I've tried to make sure that I protect my time with my family. I know my children will just be young just for a little while. And so I make sure that I spend as much time as possible. I'm not a perfect parent, but I do what I can to make sure I'm training up and investing in their life and building relationships with them. Because I know I had this short window. It's just a little while to train them, to influence them. Then I'll move from being the overall disciplinarian in their life to being the person who becomes an advisor and a person who grows into more of a support role. And I realize I just have a short window, and I've got to take advantage of this while. Because we know it's just a short while, correct? You see, but how many of us, we invest ourselves in things that aren't really worth our while? We waste our time and our energy in things that really aren't worth our while. We invest times, energy, trying to buy things that really aren't worth our while when we really need to be invested in relationship. We invest our time and energy hating on people who don't have hurt us 10 years ago, who they don't even care about you. They have moved on. They have remarried. They got a different family, and they're living their life, and you're over here still investing your anger, investing your hurt in things that really aren't worth a while. It's left us damaging. We're investing our things, our time, our energy, the things that aren't worth their while. People who have hurt you, disappointed you, frustrated you, who wasn't there. I didn't have the right hand dealt to me, but let me say it to you. Sometimes you just got to stand up and let the spirit of frozen take over your life. And just open your mouth and say, let it go, let it go. I can't stand that song, but sometimes it's all right to do that. You just got to let it go and quit investing all your time, your energy into things that aren't worth our while. And start investing it in things that are worth the while. The relationships in our life that God has put there, the relationship with Him, the kingdom of God, these are the things that are going to build us. Come here, Big Mike. I love this man right here. I've known him since he's been in junior high. When I was a youth pastor, this young man, we used to pick him up on a van and bring him to church. Always smiling, always bringing his friends with him to church. And what I love about Mike now that he's an adult and he's got his own family is that Mike has spent his time, I know his life personally, and I know the things he went through as a child, as a young man. And if he wanted to, he could sit around and be very bitter about the hand of life that he got dealt to him. He could be bitter about who wasn't present in his life and the things he didn't have given to him and the things, the opportunities that were not open to him because of something he couldn't control. Or he can spend his time saying, I'm going to invest my time now in things that are worthwhile. I could be bitter about what I didn't have, or I can be aggressive about the things I want in life and invest my time. And so instead of sitting around crying about the relationships that were not there, now he's invested into his beautiful wife. Now he's become a foster dad to those who need a dad. And now he's reaching out to junior hires. And he's overseeing and he's becoming the man of God that he never experienced in his life. Come on, give him a hand clap. I'm proud of this man. He's my hero.
Love you, man.
He could sit around crying about what he didn't have, or he could say, I'm going to invest my time and become the man I never seen. Modeled in my life. See, you have got to make a choice. How will you invest the while? When God's pruning you and you're walking through seasons of challenge, are you going to sit around and give all your time to things that aren't worth the while? Or are you going to give your life to something that's worthwhile? Every year, people make resolutions. For many years, I made resolutions. This is the year I'm going to get back in shape. And I never followed through for many years. You want to know why? It wasn't really worth my while. I didn't see the value in it. Oh, I wanted it when I went to the beach. But I didn't want to put the energy in, so it wasn't really worth my while. Some of you are the same way. You want to have change, but you don't really see it worth your while. But let the doctor talk to you and look you in the eyes and say, if you don't change your diet and exercise, you're going to die. All of a sudden, you get motivated to make some change, don't you? All of a sudden, change becomes worth your while. And you'll start eating right, and you'll the things you said, I can never live without, you're living without. And the things you start doing that you thought you would never do, why? Because all of a sudden, it became a priority. You said, this is worth my while. We've got to learn to say, what are we going to invest our time into? What's worth our while? But we get through this pattern of being pruned, being cut on. It discourages us. Think God's mad at us? No, He's not mad at you. He's just simply asking you to walk through a season of being trimmed back down. And it's not always pretty. Sometimes it looks bald and ugly. Don't point at nobody. Sometimes it doesn't look very good. Sometimes it doesn't look that great, but God's preparing you for a new season of fruitfulness. Those who bear fruit, He cuts on. So if He's cutting on you, that means you're doing the things right. Don't let the enemy come and get you distracted and put your attention in things that aren't worth your while. Say, no, while I'm going through this pruning season, oh, I will worship you. While I'm going through this pruning season, I will praise you. Oh, while I'll go through this pruning season, I will meditate on your laws day and night. While I'm going through this season, it's in you that I find refuge and strength. While I'm going through this season, I'll grow my roots deep, even though nobody sees it on the top. What's going on? In my spirit realm, things are growing from the inside out. Oh, that's where change takes place. I'm growing deep. So what's my pattern? I find it right here in Psalms 1:1-3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, Allow me, if I could today, to change the words up a little bit. How about this? Blessed is the man who walks not in the pattern of the ungodly, nor stands in the pattern of sinners, nor sits in the pattern of the scornful. But his delight is in the pattern of the Lord, and in his pattern he meditates day and night. He shall be like a what? A tree. He may be pruned. He may be getting cut on, but he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. This is the pattern for my life and for your life, that when we bear fruit, he's going to cut away and allow you and I, ask you and I to walk through seasons of pruning, walk through the wild, and then expect us to stay committed, to stay planted by the rivers of the living God, and saying, God, I will praise you during my pruning. I will praise you when I'm not bearing any fruit. Right now is a season for me to grow my roots deep so I can prepare for the next season of fruitfulness that you have for my life. That's what he does. We bear fruit. He cuts away. We walk through the wild. And then we go through a new season of multiplication. And every time we go through that season of multiplication, it can become greater and greater and greater if you don't grow weary and stay implanted. This is the pattern of the Lord. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning as the musicians come. I just am so challenged today. I know that the Holy Spirit today is speaking to many people in this room, that you're realizing today, oh, that's what is going on. Some of you here today, you've been frustrated, thinking, God, am I missing you? God, am I doing something wrong? And you're realizing today, no, I'm just going through a season of being pruned. I'm just going through a season of being pruned. This is a season I need to grow my roots deep. It's a season when I need to stay planted so I can prepare myself to be a fruit-giving person. Multiplication can come in my next season of harvest. I would imagine today, if you're just like the first service, that many, many people in here, I mean, raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. Boy, I've gone through that season and I've been frustrated. Now I'm realizing what's going on. Anybody here want to raise your hands? That's me. Yeah. Yeah, lots of hands. This is normal, guys. I've been there. What, God, what are you doing? God's challenging you. God's challenging you. He's pruning you, preparing you for a new season. Yeah. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. I don't know about you, but this is why I want to say, God, chop away. That's what our prayer is to be. God, chop away. Prune out the things in my life that need to be gone in order for me to bear much fruit for the kingdom of God. Help me to invest in things that are worth the while. Not be distracted by other things that are not worth my while. Help me to have a kingdom vision of what you're trying to do in my life, to bear fruit in my life. And when you think about giving up because you're feeling frustrated because there's no multiplication, realizing the season you're in is the season of pruning, of planting, of growing your roots deep so that you're ready for the next season of multiplication that God has for you. We're going to sing this song. Cassie's going to lead us this song. And as she does today, if you want to come to the front and worship and make it a personal time, you can. But I'll just give our heart to the God today. Say, God, prune me. I'm yours. Everything I have is yours today. Come, let's worship the Lord. Thank you.
raise your hands today. I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for every person. It feels like they're being cut on. It feels like they're walking through seasons of the wild. That God, we will not grow weary of doing the right thing. We will not grow weary of staying planted. But God, I pray right now that God, there is a spiritual awareness of what you're doing in our life through the pruning season, through the cutting away, that you're reshifting our focus to make sure we're planting our time, our energy into things that are worth the while to the kingdom of God. God, I pray right now that God, you cut away the things in our life that need to be taken away. May we not fight you. May we not resist. May we say, yes, God, cut away the bad relationships. Cut away the hurt feelings. Cut away the things in our life, the guilt. Cut away the things of laziness in our life. Cut away the things that you're working on, that you're moving us through, that God, we can become more fruitful in the next season that you have for us. God, I thank you, God, that we are positioning ourselves in the kingdom of God to become fruitful and to multiply, that we can advance your kingdom. And we say yes and amen. If you receive that word today, put your hands together. Bless the Lord. Come on, bless the Lord one more time. Hallelujah. God, we bless you together. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word, which brings correction and life to our life. May we never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to give someone a high five. Say, man, it was good to be with you today. Say, I'm changing my pattern. I'm changing my pattern. Amen.